Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, there are times when your loving goodness towards me and us is so overwhelmingly wonderful. And thank you for the beauty of the springtime all around us with flowers and blue skies and birds. Thank you, Lord, for giving me life and the ability to enjoy this earth that you created. In Jesus' name, amen. I have so much pleasure in seeing the world that God created, and I am thankful to God for it. The bugs, the birds, the animals, they're all wonderful. The trees and the mountains, they are wonderful. It's a pleasure to see them, to see the spectacular sunsets, and sometimes there's forest on the mountains, or even forest fires. There's the red fire from a volcano, and there's the earth movement from earthquakes. It's just God working in this world. All of it shows his might, his beauty and glory, and it's the working of God. And we get to witness that part of God here on earth. And outside of the world that we see, there is a world that we do not see. From the small structure of an atom to the order of the universe, it's all the God's presence and creation. We see beauty of the underground and beauty of the undersea. And we get to see what God has created and in creating in us also, of you and of me. It's all God's awesome work. Praise God for who he is. And thank you, Lord. In my quiet time, I often think of the natural beauty around me. I think of all sorts of things. I think of how chocolate is made, how much I like chocolate. I think about how steel is made, how useful it has been. And, yeah, sometimes I even think about language. I think about the different languages of the world and how they have changed over time or over thousands of years, how man has gone from one place to another on earth. I just think about those things. And I know that on the radio, I often talk about things like money and politics and the economy. Yeah, of course I know why. It's because it affects all of us. We all are affected by money, politics, and economy. Because every one of us has to live in the world. Every one of us has to buy their groceries, their clothes, the things they need, gas for the car. Yeah, we are all a part of living in the world, and all these things matter to us. So I talk about them too. I know that in my younger days, I was working with different things. I did some small investing, and I saw political matters right in front of me. So those things interest me too. Just the things that you deal with in life, one way or another, either directly or because it is a restriction upon what you are doing. It could be a protection as well. But all these things we interact with. Now, often enough, we don't know what we are looking at. And when I was dealing with things in my younger days, I didn't realize what I was looking at. We just go along and we learn. We see things in a fuller perspective, and we get understanding. as we reflect on it. And usually that means as we get a little older. Well, we try to understand so that we can get along well in life and be protected from the things that would hurt us. So we see things everywhere, and we get clues everywhere and try to put together an understanding of how to go through life for us and for other people. So I end up talking about things like the economy and money and political matters, because those things affect us. Of course, it's Jesus Christ that affects us for eternally, and we cannot ever ignore our spiritual life. But these are all things that I talk about on Christ Today. There's things that we could talk about going on around us, and I see them and am concerned. So I warn people about the things about money, economics, and politics the way I see it. I see that things in the world could really fall apart here. And so we do a little bit of preparedness so that we can survive and get through all the difficulties that just might confront us. They might confront us on a personal level, or business-wise, or corporate, or national. And there's other reasons as well, the economic, political, and moral issues. Those are all in front of us. So we try to understand and to support the things that God has a heart for. Well, I've seen countries, and I've studied countries, and I've been places in the world, and I've studied things about God, too, in His Word, and what people can add to it about the meanings in ancient times and in present-day times. It's good. It's good to learn, and we all seek that kind of understanding. It's just the way we're made. And I know there are a lot of people who are trying to figure things out and get by. So when I look at things and it causes me to be concerned, I am really shouting out a warning to people about the history of mankind, about God's pattern, what we see in the Bible, and what we can expect to be coming in, the time frame is not known, but there are things that have to be coming because that's what God's pattern indicates is going to happen. So we look and learn. And like I said, we shout out a warning when we can. Now, I don't really shout, but I do speak it. And I'm not the only Christian who thinks like this. I'm not the only Christian who is giving warnings. Warnings to this nation. Warning to the families. Warning to the people. I've heard James Dobson warn people. And the Graham family also. And I remember about 20 years ago, there were a number of people that had a prophetic something. And they spoke out warnings also. And I kind of remember them. It's that not quite like I believed them, but I sure remembered the people who gave warnings, like David Wilkerson and Chuck Youngbrand and Howard Pittman and Dimitri Dudeman and Henry Groover. They all had warnings for us. And there were others who had another kind of warning. And you will know some of the names: Cheryl Matriciana, Joe Schimmel, Dave Hunt. Oh, more. There was more also. But the thing is we do have a direction we are headed in, and there is something we can do about it personally. So warnings are around, and how much attention do we give to them? Well, we all have a different view of that, don't we? I know that the guests on James Dobson's show also have given warnings to America. If you listen, you'll hear them. And it's just interesting. There are also people who have been very secular, and they have given us warnings also. Or people within our political power structure has warned us, like the presidents of the past. Dwight Eisenhower warned us. John F. Kennedy did. Ronald Reagan did. And presidents are in a position to know more than we know. But we know what we know. We think what we think. We get our ideas. And we all figure out how to live our life with those things having some influence on us. Lots of warnings. So what are we to do? Well, we try to figure things out. We try to figure out what God would say. That's so very important because he has a view of history, the total history of all of us. And he talks about what is happening in his Bible, in a sometimes specifically, but mostly it's just in the very long overall term. So we try to understand God and his word and look at it in the long term. Recognize that we want to grow in relation with him every day, with love and with understanding. Are we doing what he wants? Does America even know what God wants? Do we all know what pleases God and what does not please God? We can all ask ourselves, have we looked into our Bible lately to confirm what God says pleases him and what God says does not please him? We have consequences for the way we live, and we have judgment after we die. But nations like our nation and all the nations of the past, ancient nations, they were all judged while they were nations. And that's pretty sure what's going to happen to our nation. Our nation will be judged while it is a nation. So that's another reason to consider the warnings of judgment upon our nation. Because at some point it will come. We don't know when and we don't know how, but there's patterns, and we can see the patterns, like I said, in history or in God's word. The patterns are there. So we can all make a difference by doing what is right in God's eyes. And we can see that there are consequences to what we do. So we want to have that right relation with God. How do we do it? What if trouble is coming? What should we do? I think we want to stabilize our own little personal area as best we know how. Because we see what has happened to people who have gone through a period of, well, you can call it consequences, and eventually it's judgment. But people do get through the hard times. And I think they do that best if they have a stable little area as much as possible. And sometimes you need a storehouse of things to get through a time of difficulty. So when there is a collapse, call it a social collapse or a government collapse or an economic collapse, well, it makes hard times for a lot of us. And that's just the way it is. So think about those what-ifs so that we can get through a hard time. Even though we don't know what exactly is coming, something surely is. Sometimes we would like to know what's coming. Sometimes we wouldn't. But if we had an idea if there was really going to be some tough situations or a collapse happening, maybe we'd like to know that. Would you like to know if it was 2 months away or 2 years away or 22 years away before a collapse comes? Well, I don't know the time frame. I just don't get it. But I can see that when things happen, they can happen very quickly. So we need to be prepared for if things happen quickly and if they take quite a while, because we just don't know. Well, maybe you want to wait a while to see what you see and then decide what you decide about how you want to prepare. Seems like that's what just about everybody does, but if we get a little start on preparing for that just in case, it's usually better. There's another part to having your preparedness, and that is when people in a big way, in a big part of the community, start to see that trouble is coming, then they take the steps they need to. And not so many things are available for the people who waited to see really what's going to happen. That's a reason to do things a little bit early. Do things before the general public realizes that something big and bad is going to happen. Because you want to have, you want to be getting your things, whatever it is, before there's a big rush to get them. See, even now, there are companies that have preparedness, food, and supplies, and they seem to be running low on supplies. It's just something to think about. Get a little bit now. You can get those most basic things from the stores and get some food things that last. That's why I like grains, because they last. I like the basic things like sugar and salt and oil, because they last years. Well, we all do it differently, and I just hope you put some thought into it. Do you think about the investment of financially about what you would do? Big question. It really is. What are we going to do with our retirement, our investment funds? Do we have a retirement, and do we have Social Security? Oh, boy. Well, if we don't, it will make everybody in about the same difficult position, and it will equalize things a bit. I don't know, but we want to be ready as best we know how. So do that mental exercise now about what you would do if hard times came. What would you do if there was a depression? Just have a look and just think in advance about the little things, about the big things, about what you would do and could do before an event actually occurred. And I know there's so many different possibilities, so many different scenarios. We don't know where to start. But you start with the simple, the most basic of ideas and the most basic of your needs. And then you get a few of those covered, and then you move to the next thing. I know that there are standard answers that those preparedness people will talk about, and that's okay. You can look at those too. But it's always a question of what are you going to do? What are you actually going to do? Those standard answers are get water or water filter, get food, or I would say get grains, and get warmth, and kind of that means clothes, and do have some money to pay the bills and expenses and utilities that you would have. There's another standard answer that those people will give you, and that is to invest in a recession-proof company. And they also often say, invest in actual gold or silver coins. So, there's just a lot to think about. And we only have so much money and so much time, and we have to figure out how to apply it the best that we can. It's just pretty interesting, because we don't know the future, we don't know the timing, but we do get some pretty good indicators of what's going on in the world, what has gone on in the world, and what the Bible tells us is coming. All that. Yep. So I see reason to be cautious, and so that's what I would say. Another approach is that if you see there's a 10% chance that there will be a difficulty, then put 10% of your available assets and the time that you have into an appropriate investment. And if you see there's a 60% chance of some very difficult times coming, then you might want to put 60% of your just-in-case investments into that arena. So, the big part of the question is, when will it happen? And we just don't know that. There's reason to see things happen quickly, and there's reason to see that things take a long time to be drawn out. But while you're thinking about the what to do part, always remember that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He loves you, and you love him, and that you will seek him, and you will want to serve him and obey him when you realize how much he loves you and has done for you. And that is a part of that born-again relationship with Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So don't let all the troubles of the world distract you from that one really big truth. Dwell on that for a while and have an eternal dwelling with God in heaven. Choose heaven with Jesus as you live your life. And you have to do that here while you're on earth. It has to be done now. And a part of what you do is you love God and love your neighbor. That comes right out of Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, 8, 9. So, how are we to love God anyway? What does that mean? Love God? Let's see. John 14, 21 tells us that we show our love for God by keeping his commandments. And I think we do that individually as best we know how. And how do we love our neighbor? Well, there's a lot of opinion about that one, isn't there? I think of first caring about their eternal salvation. To me, that's the most important. And that there develops a born-again relation between your neighbor and Jesus, just like you have, I hope. And secondly, that you would do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's right out of Scripture. Yes, that is a Scripture part. Let's see, Matthew 7:12 and Luke 6:31 talks about doing unto others. Now, we know of that as the golden rule, but, you know, that came out of the Bible first. So love God, keep his commandments, and bring others to know Jesus Christ and have eternal life. So, well, let's think another thing. About 40 years ago, I was with friends who had an insurance business. I knew the family, and computers were just coming out at that time, kind of. Well, they were pretty new, and they were starting to be used for businesses. And they decided to put a computerized system into their business so that policies and correspondence would be kept in the right order, it kept in the right files and everything. They could be accessed quickly. They figured that they could save money with the computerized system too, besides having it be more accurate. And they had about 8 ladies there who worked filing and retrieving the papers and the policies. They retrained some of them, but it was seen as a savings that some of the workers would go on to something else. At that time, I thought, maybe computers are pretty good. But it's not good for the people who lose their jobs. So with technology, we have some things that are good and some things that are not so good. If we look at today, there's lots of people who just don't fit into society. They don't have a place, and they don't have the skills, and they don't have the experience to do what needs to be done for the businesses. And they cannot find a home, and they are homeless. If you look around any city, you know that's a big problem, and it's something that all of society is concerned with. You know that the California's government talked about homelessness a lot on his State of the State speech. That took up most of what the topic was. And what was his answer? His answer was to use more of your dollars, tax more, spend more, and help the homeless the way that he tells you they should be helped, I guess. Well, it's going to cost you something. Will it be a few $100 more each, or will it be a few $1,000 if you're a taxpayer? Well, who knows what it is and who knows what it'll turn into, but if he proposes spending $1.5 billion, that's B for billion, on homeless projects, that's just a lot of money. It's a lot of spending, and we are already in debt as a country, as a state, as the corporations go, and as people go. We are in debt as a nation in a great big way. So, are we going to have money problems? Are we going to have societal problems? Yeah, it sure looks like that, and we need jobs too. How are we going to get jobs when we have already exported our manufacturing jobs to China, especially the simple manufacturing jobs? How are we going to get those jobs back? Manufacturing is a field that I used to deal with, and I remember 20, 30 years ago, there were many of the manufacturing plants, the plain kind, the plain and simple manufacturing plants, they were purchased by a buyer, usually an unknown buyer, and that buyer ended up selling the plant, selling the tools, selling everything to a Chinese buyer. And then the plant, the tools, all the equipment would be disassembled and sent to China. So we'd have a hard time to open up new manufacturing plants here, especially for those plain and simple manufacturing jobs that would give people employment in this country. That happened. Our politicians let it happen at that time. And nobody knows what to do anymore. Oh, and you know what? If we got those manufacturing plants back here, we'd have to figure out how to make everything run. And the people who knew how to run the plants, they're just not around anymore. People who knew how to operate the machines, they're not around anymore. All those machines, they needed to be fixed and repaired, and when something broke, it had to be repaired. So those people are gone now. They've either retired or just moved on to something else. We, as a nation, would have a very hard time to get our manufacturing basis back again. And we would face a problem if we ever had to manufacture the things that our population needs, like shoes and clothes. All that has gone to other countries. I mean, what would we do if we had to manufacture boots and uniforms for our military? I can't even imagine what we would do. Now, 25 years ago, we had those facilities and they could be used. But today, we pretty much don't. I remember 25 years ago when we were outsourcing things to be manufactured. Oh, I remember the large wiring harnesses for heavy equipment or large trucks or for airplanes or military vehicles, military planes even. That used to all be made in America, but we have outsourced all those little kind of things and now wiring harnesses for all of our large equipment is made in another country. And it comes back to this country sometimes in a fully manufactured vehicle. And it's good when it works. When the system works, everything's good. But here today, we're having things starting to not go so smoothly. We see that with the trade talks that are going on. We see that with the health issues. Yeah, the coronavirus. The other viruses that we are aware of. All these things are making a little bit of difference here and there. And we just don't know quite how it will turn out. But it's something to be aware of, that there could be a problem that we just don't expect. And we wonder how it's going to affect us. How it's going to affect our lives. What will come? What kind of problems will come to us in our country? Well, we have history that gives us some ideas, and we have all sorts of problems that could come about, including that our nation could just kind of disappear. That's historical. It's not that I know it'll happen or want it to happen or anything else. It's just one of those possibilities. When you look at in history, there have been viruses that have caused great harm to nations. There have been, viruses. Let's look. What have some of the recent ones been, like in the last 50 years? We've had HIV/AIDS. We've had Gulf War Syndrome. We've had bird flu and SARS. And today, it's the coronavirus. They're changing the name on that. Now they're calling it COVID-19. Well, it's just that these things, they happen in history, and they could get better or they could get worse. And right now we are at a time when we just don't know if the coronavirus is going to get better or worse. Different possibilities. I think the important thing that we remember is don't panic. That's really what we want to remember. Don't do anything that's done out of great concern at the last minute. Because there'll be people who want to influence us to do something or another, and we have to be careful not to get caught in doing something that forces us into a way of thinking or giving up something or other, like our rights. Don't know. But this is the kind of things that have happened in history. Don't panic. We can get through it. If you look what Congress has done when there were big problems, the Congress created laws when they were in panic mode. And it doesn't turn out so well for us citizens. It doesn't. So we want to be sure not to pass legislation in late night sessions, or like they did with the Patriot Act, and they had only hours to review it, and then everybody voted yes, and it became law. What did that do? Well, just take your time. You don't have to panic. You don't have to rush. Don't give up your rights or your freedom. You remember Benjamin Franklin, and he said, let's see, those who would give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. Ha! Yikes. And that brings me to another quote from John Adams about the Constitution, that it was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the governing of any other. Yikes again. Well, that John Adams quote came out of a letter, and that letter was to people in the militia. I'm pretty sure it was of Massachusetts. And it talked about that there were 2,800 men in that militia. I found it interesting because that letter told about how every man was expected to buy his own firearm and uniform at their own expense. And that's what it was to serve in the militia. The militia was voluntary, and it was done out of a sense of love and duty towards our country. They did not get paid. They did not even get their equipment. They just did it out of love and duty for their country. That's kind of always struck me as what a difference it is between then and today, when everybody expects to get paid for whatever they do. It's a different time, all right. Now, there are people who do voluntary work, and they give their time and money and service, compassion, to different service organizations or churches or ministry. And there are still people who help others for nothing, for free, just out of the goodness of their heart or out of the love of God. So it just made me think of the little contrast between then and today. That was at the end of the 1700s that John Adams said that. Well, back to the world of today and what is going on with the economy. I can't help but think again about that coronavirus. And that, yes, we've had viruses in the last 50 years that have scared a lot of people, and I just named them. A lot of people wondered if that was going to be what brings in a new order. A new order, yeah. Because people get scared and they want to be protected, and they agree to terms that will eventually make trouble for them. Well, the world see the coronavirus spread. We don't know the answer to that yet. It could be a great big thing where we have to really take seriously the effects of that virus. We just don't know yet. But soon enough, we will see. Will it ever get to be so bad as the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic? Some people think so. But, you know, that was a really, really big event. And we all got through that one. In the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic, 3% of the world's population died. That was 5 million people at that time. Now, if we were talking about 3% of the world's population today, that would be about 225 million people. So you see, we probably are not going to see that. That would be something way different than here we have thousands dying and millions under quarantine in China. But what could be? We just have to guess at what could be. And we have to be aware of what it would mean to us if people became fearful and airplanes, flights stopped even more than they have already, if goods from China stopped, if there had to be a quarantine on all the people doing the work and shipping and on the things that actually arrived here. Well, it would slow down the world economy so greatly that everyone would be feeling its effect big time. It would lead probably to an economic slowdown. No, it would lead to an economic slowdown and even to a worldwide economic collapse. In a panic, those are the kind of things that just could happen. It would change everything. That's probably why people are getting so concerned about it, because they know that it would be a great big event for the world. Now, already there are financial publications that are talking about that kind of big change is coming. Maybe they're trying to prepare us for something big that's coming. I don't know. But if we know that something is coming in the future, we are more likely to expect it or accept it. And it's just a who knows situation, but it sure could be. Those economic money problems are real. They are real now, and they would become more real if the whole situation got worse. It's affecting every country, everywhere, every people. In China, in the United States, in England, those are considered to be banking centers. Japan, too. And the OPEC countries are also feeling the economic tightenings. They feel it because China has cut way back on its oil and fuel deliveries. Well, sure they have cut back. They don't take so much oil from OPEC because tens of millions of Chinese have been quarantined and they are not driving their cars. There was an article in the South China Morning post. That was just a few days ago, and it was saying that a global meltdown is inevitable. They just don't know what the trigger would be. The article kind of hinted that, and I again say hinted, it was just a following a pattern. So they said that a meltdown could be in 2 to 3 months. Well, I don't know. There's lots of things that could happen, and we don't know the future. What do? We plan a little bit like it could be short-term and a little bit like it could be long-term. But there are reasons to see that it could be quick if the right event comes along, and then the plans are already in place to carry out a plan. I know a few days ago, Reuters reported that Sweden has started to test the world's first central bank digital currency. So there's a constant push here towards globalization. Sweden's not a large country, but they have a lot of the population that is already doing electronic everything. So it's not a surprise that their central bank would be the first to deal with digital currency. But it's a trend. It's something we can see the direction that things are going, and we just have to get a grasp that these things could come here. They could come to our nation. And I know I talk about these directions that technology is going and society is going, not to be fearful in any way, but to be prepared to meet what we're pretty sure is coming. And then we get to choose how we each individually deal with it in prayer, in thought, and then in choice. Because we all have those that we use to deal with whatever's coming our way. Prayer, thought, and choice. I have talked about the global conditions that are contributing to our problems. I've talked about it, and so did that article out of the South China Morning Post about low interest rates and easy money and how it had doubled the money supply both in China and the United States. And so that is an element of uncertainty, and it is contributing to global tensions. Well, I cited this article because it was a good article to talk about those points. Now, there's lots of other financial people who have been talking in a similar way. They, for instance, might talk about the United States banks that have paid, in the last 10 years, they've paid $250 billion, with a B, billion dollars in fines, because they did some dealings that were improper. Well, that's a lot. The banks do not have clean hands. And, you know, the Chinese banks, in my opinion, they certainly do not have clean hands either. It's just a caution. I bring it up as a caution to say, look out, things could happen. And the timing of it is for all of us to try to figure out. We do have situations in our economy that could lead to political and then lead to military action. Yeah, call it war. And the Chinese leaders have talked about this for a few years now. So we have seen in some of the news releases that there is great enthusiasm among China's military officers about a war with the United States. Does that mean it'll happen?
Nope.
It doesn't, but it sure is an indicator that it might. So, let's see. About 10 minutes into the broadcast, I talked about how I named the names of people who had spoke prophetically about a war or about hard times coming, and they have also been ones to talk about a war in which China and Russia would militarily occupy our country or attack our country. I've never quite believed that, but it was said by a number of those kind of people, so I know that it's a maybe could happen. And I think about God's foresword judgments in Ezekiel chapter 14. And it just makes me think and realize that this could be a problem. You see, we have to ask, Ezekiel chapter 14 is about when people were worshiping idols instead of God, instead of worshiping the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They chose to worship idols. And so I have to just look at our society. Are we worshiping idols? Well, it seems you want to say no, but here's the thing I would just ask you about. How many people choose to watch the game on Sunday instead of going to church and worshiping God? How many people spend more time washing and cleaning their car instead of paying attention to things of God? And how many people choose to fill their mind with maybe the longings of a drug or alcohol or some sexual thought? Or they let their mind be filled with a never-ending worldly song. So, yes, there's not worship like we might think of as idol worship, but you can see where some of these things we can look at and just kind of say it's kind of like an idol in us, isn't it? Yes, I think so. So let's remember to worship God and not let those other things become an idol to us. Those four sword judgments of God out of Ezekiel chapter 14 are the sword, famine, noisome beast, and pestilence. Pestilence, that could be a widespread disease or an epidemic. Yeah, think about that. Noisome beast. That is something that is alive and is very bothersome. From what I've heard, it can be a small animal, smaller than a bed bug, or it can be a large animal. But that's what a noisome beast can mean. And famine. I've talked about famine before on this broadcast. It's a concern. It certainly is for the world food supply. It is getting smaller and smaller, a little bit every year. And the United States has zero grain reserves. There's just not a lot of food around. Famine is a possibility, really. And the sword. Well, I've heard the sword can be terrorism, and I've heard the sword can be an invasion or an occupying army. The sword is something which indeed we could face. We don't think we can, but if God says it's going to be, you can be sure it's going to be. So, whatever we think, well, it's good to think and it's good to pray, but our thoughts are not nearly as important as God's thoughts. And if he says that these four sword judgments are going to come upon a nation, then indeed they will. Well, it's just thought. It's thought for the what if, and we all get to think about what our relationship is to our need for our desire for preparation and for getting close to God. Remember that only what God says is important. We can have our own opinions and our own ideas, but we always want to yield to the perfect knowledge and understanding of God. And we get that when we pray and read the Bible, and when we say, "Yes, Lord," that we want to hear His voice and do His will. That's what always will come into our mind. You can listen to any broadcast of Christ Today by going to www.christtoday.org. And that is all lowercase and no spaces. Also, you can get my free preparedness brochure by writing to me and sending me a stamped, self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And you might be thinking about, if a virus comes to our neighborhood, what would you need? What if our neighborhood was quarantined? And what would you want if you had to stay in your home for a long time? What if you chose to stay in your home for a long time? So think about what those things are that you just might need. And meanwhile, may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.